This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We have, all of us, a wide variety of insurance needs. I just ran off a sample list. And you need somebody that can manage all this. Get you the right insurance. Make sure you're fully covered. Make sure they save you money wherever they can. That's Purdy Insurance. They're really terrific people that have just customer service at heart the entire time. And they're great pros. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. So now we, yesterday's Steelers game, a perfect example of what we talk about on the show all the time. Really across the board, exactly what we talk about all the time. And usually I talk about this in the context of analytics. Well, it's actually a reality. But I've always said in analytics, for example, analytics are invaluable. You can't have enough information at your fingertips. Now it's just a question of you and your judgment and your feel for whatever the situation is as to how you want to use it. Because as I've said many times, those who are into analytics will tell you over and over again that that's the only way to win.
Okay.
The Steeler game yesterday goes to my point. And that is, there are a multitude of ways to win. And the Steeler-Ravens game fit that to a T.
Okay.
I mean, it. And that's, you know, like the second time this season the Steelers have won a game with six field goals. And if you were sitting there and you were looking at a Steelers game, and you have two wins with six field goals, the other one being Atlanta. You're playing great defense. You're getting the ball far enough. Your kicker, Boswell's phenomenal. And then you look at the Chargers last night. My cousin Dawn was there with her husband at the game last night. They went to the game. I know she had a great time. Look, she grew up in San Diego, so she's always been a Chargers fan. But look at that game last night. And when you look at that game last night, 34-27, there's just a multitude of ways to win, and that can't be forgotten. It's too easy, I think, as a fan, or if you're somebody that delves into the gambling part of it. What makes sports great is it's not scripted. You think you know what the outcome is. You think that's how it's going to play out. And then it doesn't play out the way you thought because there's no script. And every game takes on its own personality. Every game is different. And that's one of the cool things about sports. And that Steeler game yesterday with the Ravens was very much that way. But guess what? There's no script. Six field goals. And of all things, Justin Tucker, who's had a Hall of Fame career as a kicker, misses field goals. And we all know this has not been his best year. But of all people to miss. Yeah, Eagles fans probably feel the same way right now about Josh Elliott, who last year offensively and many times carried them. And it is not a league that is evaluated on style points. The Eagles are winning. Right? I can kid around, and all I'm doing is kidding around about the competition part of it. Right? I'll kid around about that. Because you can only play who's scheduled. But the reality is the Eagles are winning. And to their credit, they're just getting it done week by week. And having Saquon Barkley certainly makes life a little easier, a little more palatable, shall we say.
And engaged Jalen Carter is just as good as bad disengaged Jalen Carter is.
I mean, look, I thought he did play. I want to give credit where credit's due. Thursday night, Jalen Carter, I thought, was outstanding. And you know I've been critical of him, okay? I've been critical of him, as everybody knows. And I have my reasons for that. Okay? And my reasons deal with the off-the-field stuff. But, as you know, I've always been a person, I've said this before, it is not beyond me to praise somebody when they're worthy of praise, even if I've been critical of them before. And I think that he has played extremely well. He played extremely well on Thursday night. In fact, I thought he was just flat out great on Thursday night, to be honest with you. I thought he was great.
I was going to say, other than Kelee Ringo, the Georgia guys have really, you know, I think that's something we talked a lot about in the offseason, that they would have to be much improved this year. And I think, you know, between Carter, Dean, and the linebacker. Or Dean's the linebacker.
Nolan Smith.
Yeah, all three of them have played much better this season than they did last season.
I mean, Smith's issue is quite simple. He's undersized.
Yeah.
That is his issue. He's undersized. And so because he's undersized, he cannot be an every down player. And I think Jordan Davis has played a little bit. I mean, I think he's only played a little bit better. I think N'Kobe Dean has played a lot better. Carter has not played well most of the season, in my opinion, but last week he was outstanding. He was outstanding. And Mitchell, the first-round pick out of Toledo, phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I was going to say, I don't think McLaurin caught a pass on him all game.
No, McLaurin's catch or catches were on the opposite side.
Yeah.
Plus, I think Cooper DeJean was a really good pickup.
Yeah. The old man from Dunmore apparently knows what he was doing, too, once they figured out what they wanted to do defensively. I think people were a little down on Vic Fangio early in the season as well.
Well, to the people that are down on Vic Fangio, I have a very, very simple comeback. I'll never forget, I don't know how, but decades ago, there was a play up on the whiteboard in the Penn State football office. And Joe Paterno looks at me and he says, "Steve, you want to know the... I can tell you how this play is successful. He said, "You see that X?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You see that O?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "If I know the name of the O and I know the name of the X, I can tell you if the play's got a shot." So you could be down on Vic Fangio all you want, but you'd be shocked what execution means. Execution means so much. And it's something that I just don't... I think we get to the point in sports as media or fans where we talk so much about schemes and things like that, that, let's be honest, the vast majority of people, when they're doing that, do not know what they're talking about. It doesn't mean you can't have a bad scheme, okay? It doesn't mean that, and that people can recognize that. I do understand that. But Vic Fangio's been around, been there, done that, knows what he's doing, and your job is to look at the people you have and say, okay, how can I make this work? That's why when we talk about, for example, Andy Koltunicki, his ability to look at the Penn State offensive personnel and say, okay, how do I make this work? And he's done that. Okay, I've got a guy like Tyler Warren. Okay, how do I get him the ball more? I've got running backs who can catch the ball. How do I get the ball to them more? All right. I got a backup quarterback in Bo Prabula I can do stuff with. How can I get him involved to make something else open up? That's what you're doing here. Vic Fangio knows what he's doing. Right? Sometimes if there's a problem, it's sometimes the execution is the problem.
You brought up Andy, and I was watching BYU Kansas on Saturday night. And I thought of that when they were wondering why, I think Devin Neal hadn't touched the ball in three drives or something like that for Kansas at some point in the early part of the game. And it just kind of reminded me that, you know, Andy always tries to, you know, get the ball in those type of guys' hands at least once or twice a possession.
Right. And yet, in the goal line situation against Ohio State, you know, everybody knows Ty didn't touch the ball. Okay. Right. Well, you learn from things, okay? You learn from things. Yeah. And remember, part of that, too, is Tyleek Williams, who's, I think, a terrific defensive tackle. Remember, he got hurt on that drive. So that may have influenced the thought process, but I haven't asked Andy about that. I kind of moved on to other games. But you learn from that. But it's the part that I always laugh about. Well, the scheme was da-da-da-da-da. Like, you know, people say that to me. And everybody knows it's listening to this show. I'll just kind of sit back and go, okay, I was there all week. I got a better shot at knowing what the scheme was supposed to be better and more than you do. And I like, and it's not perfect on my part either. Okay? It's not perfect on my part. But I'm there every day. But I'm having somebody tell me that scheme's the problem, da 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 da. I'm like, oh, geez. Okay, great. Now you're trying to exploit and win matchups, which matchups are favorable, so forth. So if they can get a little squirrely about Vic Fangio all they want. Look, this is all about matchups. I mean, Jim Johnson was a great defensive coordinator, right?
Yes.
How many Super Bowls they won?
I don't know. Did they get the one with him, or was he already gone by then?
He's already gone.
Okay. Then yep. None.
Right. Okay. Well, why is that? Well, there's a good chance for you. Right. Let's talk about Steve Spagnuolo. When he was a DC with the Giants, they won, right? Beat the Patriots twice. Okay? DC with the Chiefs, they're winning Super Bowls. But he'll be the first to tell you. Look at the people I had. I've got Chris Jones. I've got Nick Bolton. You know what I mean? You know, he had Snead until this year. McDuffie. He's got guys that can play. He's got dudes. You know? Everybody talks about, when they talk about Belichick, for example. Belichick was a great defensive coordinator, but he'd be the first to tell you one of the reasons he was a great defensive coordinator is he had Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, Harry Carson, Leonard Marshall, Terry Kinnard. he had dudes. Okay? Patriots won games. Well, okay, he had Brady. You can call the exact same plays. Okay? And if Tim Crouch is the quarterback versus having Tom Brady as the quarterback, it's going to be different. Okay?
If it was all scheme, we might have Super Bowl winning quarterback Nathan Peterman.
Oh, just is such a low shot. You're going for the low-hanging fruit today.
I am. I walked in at 103, so I'm a little behind in everything.
One time there was I saw this poster, and it was a sheep standing on top of a butte by itself. And the caption was, "I'm so far behind, I think I'm first." All right. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All this Eagles talk, in which we're praising the Eagles, and justifiably so, I might add. I wonder if that will calm the savage beast down on Tuesdays. And I don't mean Neil Kulong.
I mean, in theory, it should. In theory.
I mean, Kulong delivers rational thought. Which means that you now have to interpret what he delivers.
I think maybe if we talk to him at the beginning of the fourth quarter on Thursday night, maybe he might be a little mad. But I think
Saquon Barkley is the best thing that ever happened to his three boys.
Yes.
You want to know why? Because all that screaming at the TV. I mean, they're picking up words they never knew about.
Yeah. At least now it's celebratory words.
No, they're usually asleep by the time that happens.
Well, that's true.
Game's over. And now he's happy. Kids are already in bed. They went to bed thinking daddy's mad. Again.
Or still.
never changes.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. I don't care whether it's quick lane, which is phenomenal, or routine, difficult inspections. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Always pleased to be joined by the head basketball coach of, as Doug Birdsong would say, your Bucknell Bison, John Griffin. John, my pleasure, my friend. Great to have you back.
Steve, thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be on with you after a win on Saturday.
How about that? I mean, double overtime, storm back job like that. There are certain character moments that happen in a season, and it's a marathon. But what kind of character moment was that on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, on a number of different levels, Steve, we had a really unfortunate and just tough loss on Wednesday that was also in double overtime. I think what we're trying to do from a marketing standpoint is make sure that everyone watches until the end. That was part of our off-season marketing plan.
Yeah.
Play as many overtime games in the first five that we could so that, you know, we that's the bait. We have to hook as many fans on as possible. But in all seriousness, Wednesday was tough. We were up by 15, 14 with 9 minutes to go, and we unfortunately lost the lead and lost the game. And what I'm most proud of, quite frankly, was the 2 days preparation prior to Richmond. There was nobody hanging their heads. There was a group of young men that were ready to get back on and get back on the horse, so to say, and grow from that game on Wednesday night at home opener. We had a good crowd and students in the building, and although entertaining for many that were watching, it was also disappointing. So we had two really strong days of, I would call it, mental preparation, and then Richmond, who just has had a couple tough losses early on in the season, came in ready to roll. And we actually, by shot quality standards, we had some pretty decent possessions in the first 20 minutes of our game on Saturday. We just didn't make any shots. And what I thought we had a little bit of a collaborative halftime world of communication, and we played with great purpose and great poise, and I'm just really proud of the group because it was just a tremendous win considering the circumstances and the opponent.
You had 13 baskets in the second half. Noah Williamson either scored or assisted on 11 of the 13. What kind of level has he played at, and what kind of level did he play, especially in the second half of that game?
I mean, he played to the level that we expect him to play, quite frankly. I mean, he's a very talented basketball player, and although he's a junior, because of his little to no minutes in his freshman year, from an experience standpoint, he's really only his sophomore year. And it's like the early world of his, you know, sophomore year, technically, in my mind. So he's tremendously talented, but what he's learning is he can impact the game in many different ways. I think when you're early on in your career, you think the only way to impact the game and impact winning is scoring. Of course, the score matters, but you can help your team win if you contribute to the rebounding world and you contribute to the passing world, and defensively you take care of your job and your responsibility. And I thought that he did that the second half, along with being a force around the rim. And like I said, he's super skilled, and there's no way that I wasn't going to put an emphasis on throwing the ball to him at halftime. And to our team's credit, they executed it very well, and we got him the ball in areas where he could be productive, and he did what he typically does, scores around the rim.
But he also passed the ball. I mean, I said it was a combination of baskets and assists. His ability to see the floor and to make the right play, what does that mean to the flexibility of your offense because he can do that?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes us more challenging to defend. Beating Richmond is a really good win for us. Richmond won the Atlantic 10 regular season last year. Coach Chris Mooney, who I know very well and followed his career very closely, has a championship-level program. And that win essentially shows, you know, what Noah does for our team. And it gives us a little bit of a spacing uniqueness on offense that allows our guards to get near the rim. And then Rue Bijak, who is also a junior, played very well. They at times, and I think hopefully this becomes more of a trend, but they played off one another very, very well. They're best friends, and they both can make three-pointers, and they both can score around the rim. And this was one of the first games that they've played well at the same time, and it certainly helped us in the second half.
What about the ability that once you got to the front, you were able to make a couple of free throws when they're trying to get back and somehow get back and steal it from you? The ability to do that and to handle late-game situations in that kind of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, I think we've, up to this point, and don't quote me on this, we have to have played the most overtime games up to this point by any Division I team. We've played five overtimes.
Yeah.
And typically the timeline of what we call special situation installation, you usually have a small world of that installed by this point, five games in. I mean, we have our entire special teams package already installed just due to circumstances. So obviously making free throws is a major part of that winning formula. But I've got to say, I'm just really happy with how we are executing under pressure. Even on Wednesday night, we're down four with a minute to go. We're down six in one of our first overtime. And we just went possession by possession. But we did execute in some really critical times in both games and at Southern Indiana that allowed us – that just gave us a chance to win. Really, at the end of the day, you focus so heavily on the special situations of the game to give you a chance to win. And credit to our players, because in those high-intensity situations, you know, human error is part of the game, and I thought that we did a really good job across the board in our first five games of just executing in some of these really important moments.
John, the shot Richmond did 36% from the field, 21% in threes. How do you feel about your defense, the rotations, and the intensity with which you're playing in that end?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Richmond's a challenging opponent. I think if you asked anybody in Atlantic 10, Richmond's one of the most challenging because of their brand of basketball. There's so much off-ball movement. So I think in the first half, our offense kind of carried into our defense in terms of, like, the overall physicality. We weren't making shots, and we were a little soft defensively. But second half, defense, we went possession by possession, and we did a great job defending one-on-one. Within the world of defense versus a team like Richmond, you really want to focus in on your matchup and make sure that you do the job you need to do in terms of taking away the one-on-one ability of who you're defending. And we did a great job of that in the second half. So I'm really proud of the energy. Like I said, though, it started on Thursday. You know, Steve, like these are 18 to 22 year olds, despite That's all right. the world of college athletics. You know, they were disappointed, and that emotion can carry into 48, 72 hours after, you know, the game ends. And credit to our players. They just moved on. The assistants did a great job of getting in the gym with our players, and that's a major part of the reason that we won on Saturday.
Yeah, you've also at the point with the two games, I mean, you played two-plus in the last two. Right. Almost two and a half. In fact, you have played two and a half games in the last. So any modification to practice, or is it too early in the season to think about any modification just because of how many minutes you've logged in the last week?
Yes, we've certainly modified. We modified last week for sure. There was more what we call mental practices than physical practices. And this upcoming week, we've already kind of coordinated the schedule so that we are ready to go for the upcoming weekend, because we play on Thursday and then we play on Saturday. It's two home games, which is a great advantage for us. But, you know, today we'll go probably a little bit harder than we normally do because the work week has shifted a little bit. And then we'll taper it back to make sure that our legs are fresh, obviously most importantly for the first game of the week, but also thinking bigger picture for that Saturday game as well.
Can you do that because you have a few veterans too that at least understand, you know, how you want to play, why you want to play, and mental reps can make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think the mental side of the game is equally as important, if not more important, than the physical side. So, of course, having some maturity in our program and continuity in our program, there's a commonality that I don't have to refresh every day. But you definitely want to make sure that you are finding as many opportunities as possible to get better, to grow, improve, sharpen the defensive side of things, make sure the timing and the speed of the offensive side of things continuously is improving, so that, you know, before you know it, January is going to be here, and we want to feel like we are getting better week by week.
You have two games in essentially a 48-hour span here coming up, Thursday, Saturday. So as a staff, how do you handle that part? Because you will have to handle a turnaround on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like the NCAA tournament, yes, where you have a one-day prep in between two games if you're so fortunate to win the first one. So the way we divide it is each assistant coach has a team that they scout throughout the course of our schedule, and then the coaches that do not have that primary scouting report responsibility are there to assist with either special teams or anything that might have been missed, as well as player development. We're really big on player development, and we just want our players to get in the gym, and it's not what the player development looks like in the summer. It's really just 20 minutes of maintenance work and staying sharp. So we divide those duties, and my staff has great initiative. They're very thorough, and we'll be ready to go for Thursday, and we will certainly be ready to go for Saturday. And those type of quick turnarounds, like I said, due to the staff that I have, you know, we don't really worry too much about it. We just do our job.
I do have to ask you, after the Richmond game, and I just want to focus in on the Richmond game because I know the other one was a tough one. You go double overtime. You come from behind. Intense situations down the stretch of regulation. Intense situations down the stretch in the first overtime. Intense situation down the stretch of the second overtime. Do you how many minutes do you need to take in your office just to go before you go out and talk to media or do anything else?
I took the afternoon after the Richmond game to decompress a little bit. But
good.
Look, Bucknell Athletics right now is doing very well in their fall sports. So
yes,
I have four kids. I have three boys. They had a flag football championship on Sunday in Williamsport, and Lewisburg was able to win. So, and then on top of that, on Saturday night after our Richmond game, our men's soccer team won the championship, Patriot League championship, and now they're in the NCAA tournament. And there was a very important volleyball game on campus. So we're booming over here, Steve. But, yeah. You know, look, I know everyone's talking about State College, but don't be afraid to pop into Lewisburg. You know.
Hey, one of these days I will show up at one of your games. You know,
it's, yeah, because I yeah, come again, on, let's go. Bring the Nittany Lion with you.
I'll bring friends too. All right, I'll do
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful. Okay.
Hey, just a quick thumbnail on NJIT.
You know what? They're a hard playing group. The head coach, similar to me, is in his second year. Grant Billmeyer's a good friend of mine, and
good coach.
They are in the stage of their season where they're just looking for propelling victory, and we have to be ready. So they've experienced some really tough games, but you can tell they're hungry, and opponents like that, you have to prepare for as if, you know, they're a Power 5 team. Like, there's no world where we will overlook any of our opponents, but in this one in particular, it's a program that's hungry for a win, especially a road win, and this would be a tremendous win for them. So they're going to be a scrappy bunch, and we're going to have to be ready for the physicality that they bring to the table.
I'll get out there at some point. Thursday, I won't be there. I got a show, but I mean, I'm going to get out there.
Come on, Steve. Come on, bring some friends. An orange scarf, orange sweater, maybe a cashmere orange sweater. Love
cashmere.
To see you.
Cashmere guy. Hey, John, thanks so much. I'm going out right now to buy cashmere. Thanks, John.
See you later.
It's John Griffin, head basketball coach at Bucknell. And this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make this a November to remember. Sunbury Motors Hyundai received 10 truckloads of new Hyundais, and we need to make room now. Choose from over 55 brand new Hyundai Tucson's with savings over $6,500. Sunbury Motors has the full-size SUV Hyundai Santa Fe discounted up to an unbelievable $6,197 off. Both the Tucson and Santa Fe have financing as low as 0% for 48 months and 1.99% for 60 months. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 mile powertrain. If you want to have a fun day, why not buy a Santa Cruz Hyundai? This nimble pickup starts at $31,340. The Santa Cruz is discounted up to $49,50 with 23 available. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going to save you the most money all year now. 10 truckloads of new Hyundais will make this month a November to remember with your next Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Well, I got to ask you about Danville-Lewisburg. That had to be some game.
Between Danville-Lewisburg on Friday night and Bucknell and Richmond on Saturday, I had a pretty exciting weekend.
Wow.
The game on Friday night, man. So it was a defensive, it was 14-6, you know, for most going into the third, midway through the third quarter, and Lewisburg got a field goal, an interception, took a 17-14 lead. Danville answered, took the lead back with about 3.5 minutes left. Jeremiah Davis ran 77 yards for a touchdown to give Lewisburg the lead again.
Oh, jeez.
And then Danville drove the last 3 minutes and 40 seconds and scored the game winner with 47 seconds left.
So, in other words, the Lewisburg kids don't want to hear this, but it's a shame anybody lost.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, that was kind of their I talked to to Coach Eric Wicks and to Jeremiah after the game, and that was kind of the feeling was, oh, it sucked. But, you know, there wasn't much more they could have done. They did everything they could do. It wasn't like they lost the game. Danville just had the ball last and won it. So I don't know much more you could do. I mean, Jeremiah ended up with 267 yards rushing and three touchdowns. You know, it's just they don't have the kind of offense that's going to drive the field 80 yards in 47 seconds. And then, you know, that's just kind of they just ran out of time for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, look, that happens. Look, it's just two teams, heavyweights, going toe-to-toe in the center of the ring. And on a split decision, one team won. Now, Shamokin, I mean, Juniata's pretty good. But, boy, Juniata beat him by 20 points.
It was one of those things,
right?
Where
27-7.
Yeah, it was one of those games where everything that could have gone wrong for Shamokin did. I think they probably took Juniata a little lightly, and Juniata played real well. Shamokin turned the ball over five times. There was a point where I think it was 7-0 or 14-0 Juniata, and Shamokin drove to the one, got stopped on fourth down, and Juniata hit a. Like a 95-yard touchdown pass, like two plays later. And then they got it to 21-7 at the half and were getting the ball first. And the second-half kickoff went off one of the Shamokin front men. Juniata recovered and scored to make it 27-7.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, it was, if you could think of any kind of mistake or bad thing that could have happened to a team, it kind of happened to the Indians and, well, to Shamokin. And the other Indians, Juniata, took advantage of it and kept their season alive.
Right. By the way, Penn State, Maryland, which is senior day at Beaver Stadium on Saturday, November 30th, will be a 3:30 kickoff. And that game will be on BTN. All right? And at some point, I've got to get to Penn State basketball. They're 4-0. They went to Baltimore and beat Virginia Tech by 22 points. Forced 24 more turnovers, had 16 more steals. They were averaging 15.3 steals per game. A lot of teams don't get 15 in a week. They got Purdue, Fort Wayne, which is 3-1. Wednesday night in the Jordan Center. A couple good players, Bello and Jackson, between the two of them are averaging about 35, 36 a game.